The story that you just heard from the book of Acts is such an important story that it is told twice in the book of Acts. Twice. I'm told that in those days when you wrote, you didn't have a whole lot of material to write on. It was pretty expensive to, you know, it's not as easy as just getting a piece of paper and writing something or getting to your computer and typing something out. You know, you had a certain process you had to go through, and the rolls that things were written on were expensive, and they were fragile, and they were important. And so for something like the book of Acts to have been written down and for a story to appear in it twice meant that it was particularly important. To use up space twice, it was particularly important. It seems as though there was a controversy in the early church. Praise the Lord. In fact, quite a division in the church. And it was really between those who were the very earliest believers who came out of the Jewish faith and believed with all of their heart that you needed to keep the Jewish faith and be Christian at the same time. And so this particular set of believers believed in Jesus, but they also believed they had to keep all of the purity rules and regulations. All of that ritual also needed to be kept. Then there was this other set of people who had come to believe in Jesus, but who were not Jewish. They were called Gentiles. And the Gentiles began to hear about Jesus and also began to believe. And there was a great division because the earliest believers over here who believed you needed to be Jewish in order to be Christian conflicted with this group who were Gentiles, and they didn't want to be Jewish. They wanted to be believers, but they didn't want to be Jewish in order to be believers. You see where I'm coming from? Where I'm going? So Peter, we remember Peter, right? Yeah. Upon this rock I will build my church, Jesus said, speaking of Peter and Peter's declaration at Caesarea Philippi. Peter was traveling around and he found himself to be in Joppa. It seems like an awful lot of stuff happened in Joppa, just a little bit away from modern Tel Aviv. And he was praying and had a, he says, in a trance I had a vision. So he had a vision. And in this vision he sees what seems to be a large sheet coming down from heaven, being held by its four corners. And I think I've seen artist rendering where there are doves holding the, now how they could hold a sheet up, let alone with all the stuff that was in it, is beyond me. But anyway, you know. So this sheet comes down and it's filled with birds of the air and reptiles and all kinds of things, which to us we kind of go, okay. But if you were a Jew, these were all things that you were, that you kept away from, that were considered unclean. You could only see, eat certain things, and all the stuff that was in the sheet that was coming down were things that you should not eat. And he sees this thing coming down, and with it the voice says, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter goes, oh no, no way. You know that nothing profane has ever crossed my lips. I'm a good Jewish man. All right? And the voice comes again and says, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. And this has happened, this happens three times. You know, so Peter gets it, you know, we hope. You know, sometimes it takes just once, sometimes it takes twice, and sometimes it takes three times for God to get through. Hopefully no more than that, but you know, we can be pretty hard-headed, and Peter could be pretty hard-headed. And finally, he awakens from the vision and he remembers it. Almost at that exact same time, three men come to the door. And they have been sent by someone in Caesarea, a little further up north, a couple days journey by foot. And it doesn't say it in this particular scripture reading, but they come from the home of Cornelius, a Roman centurion, as Gentile as you can get. Roman, hated by the Jews. They come and they say, "We're looking for Simon called Peter," or Peter called Simon. "And we have been tasked to bring him with us to Caesarea." And Peter gets up and he's relaying this story to people in Jerusalem. And he says, you can see there are these six people who are with me here now who went with me from Joppa to Caesarea. They really acted as his witnesses to what happened. That's why he took them with him onto Jerusalem as he tells the story. And when he gets to Caesarea and when he gets to Cornelius' home, he barely has to begin to talk about Jesus, then the Holy Spirit falls all over the place. And Peter recognizes that just as he and the very earliest disciples had experienced the Holy Spirit falling on them, which gave them power to go out into the world and talk about Jesus, that same Holy Spirit was falling all over these Gentiles. And so Peter said to the people in Jerusalem, "Who is to hinder God and what God's about?" Basically, he says, you're standing in God's way. And you need to get out of the way so God can do what God wants to do. One of the commentators on this particular passage says, Peter's witness is not to a kerygma, which is the fancy theological word for teaching, but to a religious experience. To a religious experience. Now, most of you know that I grew up Methodist, United Methodist, or something. You know, and when I got to seminary, there were all kinds of things that they taught you. And one of the things that I had to take, since I was trying to be a good Methodist, didn't work out real well in the end, but I was trying, you know. In Methodist history class, they talked about the Wesley Quadrilateral. Quadrilateral. Yeah, there we go. And the Wesley Quadrilateral is this. You look at everything that comes your way and you bring to it, what does Scripture say? What does tradition say? What does reason say? And what does experience say? When I was coming out, oh my Lord, I looked to Scripture first. Because it was the first thing to look through on Wesley's Quadrilateral, being a good Methodist. You know? And I discovered that there is much more to Scripture than most people would have wanted to have told me. You know, there were those few things that might refer to homosexuality. But there's a whole lot more in Scripture than that. And then I looked at tradition. I studied a little bit more about church history. And I began to realize that, you know, there have been gay people in the church forever. And some of them have even been named saints. No. Yeah. And then I looked at reason. And that meant looking at, for me, it meant looking at scientific stuff. And the science said, you know, there is homosexuality in every species, including mine, this Homo sapiens thing that's going on. But it's everywhere in the great creation. And then I looked at experience. Oh, And I began to realize that my experience of Jesus was something that nobody could take away from me. My experience of the Spirit of God was something that no one could take away from me. And I found this passage in the book of Acts. And I began to realize that there were people who were trying to get in God's way when it came to my life and my living out what I believed to be what God wanted me to do. Amen?
Amen.
And so even using the Methodist quadrilateral, the Wesley quadrilateral, I realized I could be gay and Christian at the same time. How about that? How about that? Through the years, there have been other times when people have tried to stand in God's way. In our own history as a nation, when our Constitution, remember when it was first written, black people were only 2/3 of a person. Can you imagine? I can't imagine that. What's 2/3 of a person? Makes no sense to me. But it was written in to our founding documents. And we finally began to realize that that just wasn't right. And it began to change. It took a while. Earlier in the 1900s, most of you may not remember because most of us weren't alive in the early 1900s. Thank you, Jesus. You know, women were not allowed to vote. Because you know what? We're irrational creatures. You know, we're irrational creatures. I know some men who are pretty irrational too, but let's not go there this morning, you know? But that was one of the things that people used. Women couldn't possibly know how to vote. Their husband is going to tell them anyway, you know, because everybody had a husband, you know. Well, yeah, right, you know. Anyway, slowly, it took a lot of time and a lot of education. That was changed. And women finally got the right to vote. But there were people who stood in God's way, and you know, they used, guess what they used? They used the Bible. Of course. They used it against black folk too. You know, it says in here, slave should remain a slave. You know, a woman should take advice from her husband. Says so. But all the time, people were standing in the new thing that God wanted to do. I believe this book is important, but I also know that as time goes on, we need to look to reason and experience to guide what we think and how we act and the things that we do. We're beginning to see a whole new revolution, if you will. Well, maybe I shouldn't have used that word in our political context, but anyway, there's a whole new revolution in the world today around marriage, isn't there? You know, something that was denied to a whole group of people for so long, finally, we're beginning to have the right to marry the one we love. For so long, people stood in God's way, and they used this as an excuse. Do you know Tennessee? The legislature in Tennessee just voted to make this the official book of Tennessee.
Yeah, I know.
Thank God the governor vetoed it. And thank God the legislature didn't overturn his veto. That doesn't mean that this book isn't important. It doesn't mean that the scriptures that Peter knew, probably by heart, weren't important. But it was also a matter of allowing God's Spirit to continue to allow God to unfold. And that's still happening in the world today. There's another conference coming up for the United Methodists. I think it's in Portland, but I'm not sure exactly where. And God bless the Methodists. You know, they're still trying to figure out whether or not we're worthy. You know. I think if they would only look at their own Wesley Quadrilateral and look at the experience that people have had of God's Holy Spirit at work in their lives, there would be no question about full inclusion in absolutely every way in the United Methodist Church. The same can be said for Roman Catholics who are still arguing whether or not women can be priests. Praise the Lord. God's Spirit continues to unveil God's revelation to us over time. And we have to be very careful not to get too stuck on our own bandstand, but to let God's Spirit continue to be at work. See, I think that this particular passage is one of those passages that we as gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people can point to and say, but look what the Scripture says. Do we really want to stand in God's way with what God is about in the world? So when people come at you, you know, and go, oh, no, 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 God couldn't possibly love or like you. Because, you know, whatever. You can say, but Peter had a vision from God that said, what I have declared to be good, you should never again call not good. And that includes absolutely every single one of us in this room. Every single one of us in this room. So feel free to use this passage when you find people standing in God's way. Because those folks really, I feel sorry for them, aren't open to all the ways that God is continuing to reveal God in the world. And guess what? God wants to reveal God's self through you and you and you and me. Let's not stand in God's way. Amen?
Amen?
Let us pray. God, we thank you for Peter and for his openness to what was new and different from anything he had ever known in his life. God, we're pretty sure that Peter really wanted to be holy. He wanted that in his life. And you opened up a whole new realm of holiness for him when he began to preach and the Holy Spirit fell upon Cornelius and his whole household. Thank you that he didn't stand in your way to do what it is you wanted to do in the world. Help us to get out of your way as well. But also, use us as voices, just like Peter's, to say, do not allow anything to hinder God and God's purposes in the world. Thank you for Peter, and thank you for how you have anointed us to bring good news in this world today. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.